Give me a break. What? It's true. I'm not like you or Fionn. It was never going to happen for me.
You haven't even tried, Una said.
From what I can gather, you just gave up at the first hurdle. No one said this job was going to be easy, Sarah. It takes determination.
Don't lecture me, Una. I can't afford to paint full time. I wouldn't make enough money to survive on. I don't have a rich daddy to support me, do I?
Do not bring my father into this again, Una said. So you're going to ignore my point?
What point exactly?
You're a teacher, aren't you? Paint in the evenings, after school. Paint during the Easter holidays and every summer. It's the end of July now. You still have a month left to get some work done.
Make art, Sarah, not excuses. That's what real artists do, Una said.
Are you a real artist?
She stood up, putting the strap of her handbag over her shoulder.
I hate to be blunt, Sarah, but surely you don't think you're the first person to have your heart broken by some idiot who didn't deserve you in the first place, or the first woman to have a difficult childhood.
Sarah flinched.
I'm sorry, Una said, and she did look sorry. I don't mean to be harsh. I'm sure it was devastating to lose your mother at such a young age.
She took an unsteady breath.
But there are worse things that can happen to a child than the death of a parent. Believe me.
Blowfish used to be an infamous nightclub on Leeson Street. The sort of place you would only go at 3 a.m. when everywhere decent was closed, the walls slimy with sweat, and someone else's credit card behind the bar. Sarah had never gone there. It wasn't considered cool at DAC. But all of Usheen's stories from college seemed to revolve around the club. It had come up for sale around the same time that JJ was looking for premises for his first restaurant, and he had bought the place on a dare, all of them in hysterics that JJ owned the club they used to be thrown out of on a regular basis for snorting coke in the toilets. When the sale had been confirmed, Sarah asked Usheen about the price of the place.
JJ's parents are giving him the deposit, obvs,
he'd told her, and the banks were eager to give him the rest because
they know a good thing when they see it. The boom is back, baby.
Sarah had thought of Aisling, still waiting on mortgage approval, desperate to move into her own house. It didn't seem as if the boom was back in Dunfinan.
Sarah! JJ said when he saw her. Happy birthday.
He came out from behind the maitre d' stand to hug her.
I haven't seen you since the wedding, I don't think.
I don't know how much longer I can do this. It's obvious to all of us that...
Yes, she said. Such a great day. He led her through the crowded restaurant. There was a bleach blonde DJ in the corner, sneering when someone asked for a song she didn't approve of. Men in suits were throwing back shots at the horseshoe-shaped bar in the center of the room, and leather-seated booths for customers to eat at lined the walls. The table JJ had given them was tucked into a corner, far enough away from the DJ's sound system to allow them to hear one another speak. There was a bottle of champagne in an ice bucket, two glasses poured. She handed her coat to JJ and sat next to Usheen rather than opposite him, resting her head on his shoulder.
Hey, baby, she said. I missed you.
Someone's in a good mood,
Usheen said.
I missed you too. Happy birthday.
Thank you, she said.
And happy anniversary.
2 years ago. She had still been waiting for Matthew to call her then and say he had made a mistake, scanning through photos of him on the MBA social media accounts to see if he looked like he was struggling to sleep or to eat, like she was. But he looked better than ever. Of course he did, Sarah reminded herself. They had never been in a real relationship. They had just been having some fun. Matthew was reacting to their breakup. No, not a breakup. They had never been in a real relationship in the first place. Sarah had to accept that. In a completely normal way. It was she, Sarah, who needed to get over it.
2 years, Sarah said to Usheen. Hard to believe.
She moved to the other side of the table.
It was weird us sitting next to each other like that, wasn't it? We were right on top of each other.
I thought it was nice, he said.
It was weird, she said, picking up her menu, hiding Usheen from view.
Hey,
he said, tapping the back of the menu until she lowered it. He seemed to be waiting for her to say something else.
Her stomach tightened. Did Oisin know that his mother had come to the house today? Did he know that Una thought they should break up?
Hey, what?
Sarah said, buying herself time.
Did you like your present?
Oh, my present, yes. Of course.
I was just asking because you didn't text about it.
I was busy today.
Too busy to send me a text?
Jeez, Oisin, I thought this was supposed to be my birthday dinner. Can we not do this?
Sure,
he said, forcing a smile.
You look really pretty, Sarah.
Thanks,
she said. Oisin's eyes lowered to the deep cut of her neckline, and she knew he would want to have sex with her tonight.
What are you having?
The monkfish, Oisin said. I'm not hungry enough for a starter.
You always get the monkfish.
Because I love it.
But it's so boring. Would you not even think of trying something else?
Sarah, let me have what I want, okay? I don't think that's too much to ask.
The waiter came to take their order. Oisin asked for the monkfish, swallowing a smirk when he was told that was an excellent choice.
One of the finest dishes on the menu, sir.
Sarah would have the ling, she told the waiter, even though she wanted the blackened salmon. That was what she always ordered, but she couldn't get it now, not after needling Oisin over his predictability.
It's not a competition, he would sigh, if he knew what Sarah was thinking.
But it was. Oisin didn't realize that, because he was always the one who was winning.
Did you open my parents' card?
Oisin asked her.
Yes,
she said. She wasn't going to tell him about his mother's visit, she decided. Let Una talk to Oisin if she was so desperate for him to break up with her.
I'm excited,
he said, buttering a bread roll.
I've been dying to get down to Ballyfin.
I don't know if I'll be able to go. I'll be back at school in less than a month.
We could go before then.
I have plans for next month.
What plans?
I can't have plans now.
Ling for the lady?
The waiter said, before Oisin could reply. Placing the plate in front of her.
And the monkfish for the gentleman.
Sarah looked around the room, taking note of the couple's stroking hands, knees touching under the table, high on the promise of what was to come later. She remembered when she and Oisin had been like that. They used to point out people making stilted conversation or checking their phones, and vow they would never end up like that.
They would be in love forever, Oisin said.
All done here?
The waiter was back.
Was it not to your satisfaction?
He asked Sarah as she pushed her full plate away from her.
It was lovely, she said. I lost my appetite is all.
Oisin took out his card to pay the bill, leaving a generous cash tip on the table. Sarah didn't thank him. He could afford it.
Are you okay?
Oisin asked her once they were inside the house.
No.
I'm fine.
I'm not fine.
You?
I'm going to bed,
he said. Sarah's eyes followed him as he walked upstairs. There was so much she needed to say to Oisin, and so much she knew she could never tell him. It was too late. In the kitchen, Sarah put the kettle on. She stood there waiting for the water to boil, and she began to think about last year's birthday. 26. She and Oisin had only been living in Booterstown for 3 weeks then. They were in love. The house was free. Una McManus was insisting that Sarah claim the studio as her own. It seems like fate, Sarah had thought, as she unpacked her suitcases. After an early birthday dinner in Jay's Tavern, she had gone to the shop to pick up another bottle of wine, and, when she returned, Oisin was waiting for her, holding a cake with 26 candles. The hall had been transformed with balloons and a homemade Happy Birthday, Sarah banner hanging on the wall.
Did you do all of this?
Sarah had asked him.
Did you do all of this for me?
Of course I did, Oisin replied. I love you, Sarah. I love you so much.
Then.
Happy 24th birthday, babes,
Robbie said as I shuffled into the kitchen in my slippers. I can't see any new wrinkles yet.
How kind of you to say so.
I grabbed a mug from the draining board.
And terribly kind of you to remember what an important occasion today is.
It would be hard to forget,
Aaron said. He was sitting at the table, already scanning through work emails on his phone. He nodded at the calendar hanging on the kitchen door, a farmer's journal one that I had put up as a joke. I had circled the 29th of July with pink highlighter, writing, "Sarah's birthday," in capital letters.
Yes, well, I said, I didn't want you to get caught out. So embarrassing.
I sat down next to Aaron, Robbie standing behind me and rubbing my shoulders.
Now, where are my presents?
I'm giving it to you right now, Robbie said.
It was a voucher for a massage.
Very generous. And what did you get me, Aaron?
Why do you need us to get you anything? Joan's present will be impressive enough for the three of us, no doubt,
he said, then added under his breath,
I don't know why it bothers.
I'm sorry, I said, choosing to ignore him. I expect individual presents from each of you.
Fine.
Aaron rolled his eyes.
I'll raid the samples closet at work today. You're a 10, right?
No, I said. I'm an 8.
His eyes scanned down my body.
Amelia was right, you have lost a lot of weight.
He stood up, wrestling with his coat.
I'll see what I can do. Talk to you later. I'd better go too,
Robbie said.
My boss is so strict on time. There's no telling what he might do if I get in late.
Gross, I said. Give Kevin my love.
Will do.
He squeezed my shoulders. Any nice plans for the day, birthday girl?
I'm not sure yet, I said. I'm waiting on a few offers. You know how it is.
When I was alone, I checked to see if Matthew had texted me. He hadn't, but it was early yet. It was only 8:30 a.m. It was early yet. It was only 9:30 a.m.
It was early yet. It was only 10 a.m.
Aisling and Kira texted into the WhatsApp group, Happy birthday, babe. 24. You're ancient. May as well give up now. Kiss, 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 kiss. Aisling.
On a side note, nice new profile photo.
Fire emoji.
You seem to change it every week. I can't keep up with your hotness.
Sarah. What can I say? I have commitment issues. I changed it so that he would notice and text to tell me that I was pretty. I changed it so he would remember that I existed. He hadn't texted, but it was early yet. It was only 11:30 a.m. I picked up my phone and reread our messages from yesterday.
Matthew.
I have to do the unspeakable and cancel our plans for this afternoon. There are some issues with Harry I need to sort out. I totally understand if you never want to talk to me again.
Sarah. Don't apologize.
Harry comes first. What about tomorrow?
Matthew. No luck, it's insanely busy. I have a meeting with Sex Bomb. They're hoping to roll out in Ireland next year, and I am determined to get that contract. I'll see if I can get any freebies for you.
Sarah.
What perfect timing. It can be my birthday present.
Matthew.
Your birthday?
Sarah.
Yes. On the 29th of July, 24 years ago, a miracle happened.
Sarah. I mean, some might call it the second coming, but I'd hate to put words into your mouth.
Matthew.
You know me. I've always been a fan of coming.
I was sure he had something special planned. Flowers, probably. Matthew seemed like the sort of man who would send a girl flowers for her birthday. We had been getting closer these last 2 months, since that day in room 63 when he promised me it wasn't just sex. Since that day, I had decided to wait. I had more free time when the school year finished, so I could afford to be flexible. I'll fit in with your schedule, I told him. I shaved my legs and bikini line every day, and I ran packs of the pill together to ensure I didn't get my period. The blood made him squeamish, he said. Waking up every day. Waiting for his text.
Come meet me now. An afternoon quickie or a stolen hour between morning meetings. Once, twice, sometimes three times a week.
I don't have much time,
he would say to me, unzipping his trousers as I knelt down.
We have to be quick.
He kissed me on the cheek afterwards.
Thank you, Sarah, he always said. I needed that.
And I told myself that he needed me.
Hey, Dad,
I said as I answered the phone.
Sarah, he said, happy birthday.
Thanks.
Did you get the money?
I haven't had a chance to check my online banking, but I'm sure I did.
Check it, will you?
I'm on the phone to you now. Can you not wait until we're finished? I read, Sarah's birthday, Sarah's birthday, Sarah's birthday, on the calendar over and over again. This year was supposed to be different.
Sarah?
Fine, Dad.
I gave in. I'll check my internet banking once we've hung up. I have been giving in a lot since my mother's anniversary, apologizing, trying to explain why I had missed that train. I'm not angry, Sarah, my father said to me. I'm just disappointed. And I'll text you straight away and let you know that the money's there, okay?
Grand,
he said, and he cleared his throat.
I met Kira Grogan after Mass yesterday.
Kira still went to Mass?
That's nice.
She's going to have a baby, you know.
Yes, Dad, I'm aware. It would have been hard not to be, with the photos of Kira's bump that were flooding the WhatsApp group.
Her parents were with her. Oh, and English, too. The whole lot of them went to Mass together.
That's
weird as fuck.
Nice.
They were all chat about the wedding plans. August, Kira was saying. In Clonmel.
Yes, Dad, I know.
It's nice to see her settle down.
I mean, she's only 24, so some might say it's a bit early for her to be settling.
I said settled down, Sarah, not settling. That's not a very nice thing to say about your friend.
I pinched the bridge of my nose. No, Dad, I'm sorry.
That's okay.
He paused.
While I have you, did you apply for any of those jobs that I sent you?
I have a job.
But these jobs are in Tipperary.
I don't want to live in Tipperary, Dad. I want to live in Dublin.
That's sure what's so great about Dublin. I know you like living with Fionn and the lads, but that house is for your stamp, Sarah. I'm convinced that's why you get a chest infection every winter. And if you were in Tipperary, you might have more time to yourself. You could get back to the painting.
I always thought... My boyfriend lives in Dublin, I said before I could stop myself.
You have a boyfriend?
He asked.
Since when do you have a boyfriend? How come this is the first I've heard of it?
It never came up before. I had always refused to talk about my relationships with my father, for fear that he might want to discuss his own, hopefully non-existent, love life in return.
What does he do? Is he an artist too?
He works in real estate.
There's no money in that anymore, is there? Not since the recession. I hope the poor lad has a decent backup plan.
Yeah, well, it's Matthew Brennan, so I don't think he needs a backup plan just yet. As soon as the words left my mouth, I knew that I shouldn't have said that.
Matthew Brennan?
My father said slowly.
The man who was married to Harold Kavanagh's daughter.
They've been divorced for ages, Dad.
And didn't you tell me that his son went to your school?
Yes, Harry. There was silence on the other end of the phone. Well, I asked, aren't you going to say something?
Could you lose your job over this?
2 minutes ago you wanted me to quit my job and move home. Some consistency would be nice.
Don't get smart with me, Sarah.
I'm not trying to be smart, I said, and I doubt they could fire me over this.
You doubt it? Well, that's very reassuring, isn't it? How long has this been going on, then?
Only about 5 months. He didn't say anything. I thought you'd be happy about this. He's so successful, Dad. He has the most amazing house. You should see the photos of it. It's...
Do you think I care about how much money this man has? Are you for real?
I didn't say that.
Good, because I don't care. and I hope I raised you better than for you to care either.
Dad?
I have to go, Sarah.
Dad? I said again. You can't say anything about this to anyone. It's
a secret.
Private.
What you mean, it's private?
We're keeping it between ourselves for now, I said.
So he's your boyfriend in private. How many other private girlfriends does he have? Is there an entire harem of you?
Jesus, of course not, I said. But the truth was that I didn't know, and worse, I couldn't ask. Not yet. Look, Dad, I don't expect you to understand.
I'm glad,
my father said.
Because I don't.
Fitz! Fionn's voice shouting up the stairs.
Fitz, where are you? I have your present.
The door to my room was thrown open. You're still in your pajamas. It's 7 p.m. He was standing at the doorframe, a large box covered with Care Bear wrapping paper in his hands.
I'm so excited about this one, he said.
I think I might have outdone myself this year.
I didn't move.
Fitz?
He sat next to me on the bed.
Fitz, are you okay?
I'm fine, I said. It's just my dad. I pushed myself up onto my elbows. It's so typical of him. He can never be happy for me. He has to ruin everything.
Fitz, come on, Fionn said. He's not that bad.
He is, I said. He's ruined my birthday. He's put me in a bad mood. He didn't even send me a card, for fuck's sake. How hard would it be to send your only child a birthday card?
Sarah, you're 24, not 14. Let's have a little bit of perspective, shall we?
Why are you sticking up for him?
Eddie's a good guy. Do you know he texts every time he sees an article about me in the papers, just to make sure that I've read it? He's sound out, like.
Pity he couldn't support me in the same way.
What?
Fionn was staring at me.
He paid for you to go to art college.
Using Nana Kathleen's money.
So what? I had to work two jobs for 3 years before I could go to DAC, he said. My father still thinks I must be gay because I decided to become an artist.
You're being... He stopped himself.
Look, aren't you going to open your present?
He held the box out to me, but I couldn't find the energy to take it from him. Can I do it later? I said, curling into his side.
He didn't text, did he?
Fionn said. He had a million meetings today.
It would have taken him 2 seconds to send a text.
I know, but there was some stuff going on with Harry, too. I don't have kids. I don't have a demanding job like he does. Maybe that's half the problem.
How do you mean?
It's because I'm on my holidays. I have too much time to be thinking. If I had more going on right now, I wouldn't
waste my days thinking
of Matthew, about what he was doing and who he might be doing it with. And Matthew was so busy, his job is incredibly demanding.
You already said that.
Look, it makes more sense that I...
That you what? That you be the one to make all the sacrifices?
He's busy, I said again.
This isn't like you. I've never seen you act like this over a guy before.
That's because the other boys were easy, I thought. The other boys lay down before me and I walked over them without a second thought. Fionn pushed my hair off my forehead, the gesture so gentle that I felt as if I might cry.
You deserve more than this, Fitz, he said. I hope you know that.
Now. The morning after her 27th birthday, Sarah met Fionn at the Irish Museum of Modern Art. He had protested when she first suggested it, saying that she would be hungover and inevitably cancel last minute. I don't do that anymore, Sarah had said. I'm like an old married woman these days. Fionn was different these days, too. He woke at 5 a.m. to chant mantras, a new devotee of transcendental meditation. He ate vegetarian food. He practiced hot yoga. He had finally given up the hash. He dated girls who were too thin and too cool,
girls who dabbled in graffiti art or expressionist dancing in their spare time, but who never seemed to have proper jobs, as far as Sarah could see. When Sarah asked Fionn if she could meet them, he said that they wouldn't have anything in common. He was getting good at compartmentalizing, putting her in one box, the people he met through his art in another, never allowing the two to mix. He had become similar to Matthew in ways Sarah could never have anticipated. Fionn and Sarah walked around Imma the same way they always did, separately, but with an acute awareness of where the other was in the room at all times.
Why?
Sarah would ask Fionn when he stood for too long in front of a painting.
Why this one?
Because it makes me feel something, he said, and Sarah understood. They stayed there, side by side, in front of the painting. Sarah wanted to feel something, too.
Do you want to go in?
Fionn asked as they passed the narrow entrance into the room containing a retrospective of Una's work, explaining her historical importance in both Irish art and feminism. She shook her head. I've seen it already. Sarah had gone to the opening of the exhibition with Oisín, listening intently as he explained each piece in great detail to her.
This is my favourite,
Oisín had said of a painting from the They Shoot Daughters, Don't They? Collection.
Mom was really coming into her own in the '80s.
And Sarah smiled, loving how proud he sounded of his mother. They went for dinner afterwards, Una and William, Oisín and Sarah, Donal and his girlfriend Emer.
To Mom,
Donal had said, raising a glass of champagne in her honour, the rest of the table following suit. Una was flushed with happiness. She couldn't have done any of this without them, she said.
Especially you, my darling, she said to William.
He grunted in reply. He was feeling sick, he said, and the food wasn't as good as it normally was, and the waiter was taking too long, and did they really need to get sparkling water? What was wrong with tap water? Afterwards, when Sarah thanked them both for a lovely evening, William shrugged.
Nothing to do with me, he said. It's Una's money, after all.
I saw it a couple of weeks ago, Fionn said now.
I really liked it. They've curated the collection brilliantly. She's a clever woman, your mother-in-law to be.
At brunch, a little later on, Fionn ordered the veggie scramble, Sarah the pancakes, and they talked about Robbie and Kevin's new dog.
Why don't they just adopt a baby? Fionn said. It's obvious that's what they want to do.
And Aaron and Amelia's upcoming wedding plans.
Another wedding, Fionn said. That's four next year, plus the stags. I'll be broke.
What are you talking about? Sarah said. You're doing so well, it's amazing.
Fitz, I made 21 grand last year, and that was a good year.
What?
But every time I open a newspaper, there's an article declaring you the future of Irish art. I spend my life boasting about my famous friend Fionn. I don't get it. Sure, look it. I didn't get into this to become a millionaire. It is what it is.
He bit off a piece of toast.
How are things with you?
He said, mid-chew. Sarah wanted to tell him about Una's visit to the house, about her advising Sarah to break up with Oisín.
Do you think I should do it? She wanted to ask Fionn. Do you think I should leave Oisín?
Sarah wanted to tell Fionn that she was afraid. Afraid of making a decision and regretting it afterwards, perhaps for the rest of her life. Afraid of being by herself again. Alone. Alone forever.
Sarah?
Sorry, she said. I'm fine. Everything is fine with me.
Good, Fionn said. Glad to hear it.
When the waitress came with the bill, Fionn handed over his debit card. Sarah always seemed to be surrounded by men who handled the bill. She had gone from her father paying for food and clothes and school trips, to Matthew, who paid for hotel rooms, to Oisín, who paid for, well, everything. A lifetime of pretending to reach into her bag at restaurants and bars, knowing that the man beside her would insist that she put her wallet away. The only woman Sarah knew that earned more money than the man in her life was Una. Una didn't need William to pay for her lunch. Una didn't need William to do anything but love her. Sarah couldn't imagine what that felt like. To see a man as the source of love, rather than needing him to take care of her.
Thanks, Fionn, Sarah said. You didn't have to do that.
Not a bother, girl, he said. It can be your birthday present.
Sarah remembered another birthday.
What did you get?
Fionn had asked her over a breakfast of honey loops and tea.
Money, she'd replied. That's what my dad always gets me.
Ah, here, girl, he'd said. We've got to sort this shit out.
Coming home that afternoon, she'd found a sheet of A4 paper on the front door with an arrow pointing down saying, look under the mat. A piece of paper was waiting there.
Riddle me this, Sarah.
The treasure hunt took her all over the house and back out the front door until she discovered Fionn by the Wellington Monument in Phoenix Park. A red and white checked picnic blanket, a bottle of cheap wine, green olives, a couple of spliffs, and a packet of Percy Pigs. He had thought of all Sarah's favourite things.
Thanks,
Sarah had said to Fionn as the sky turned black, and for some reason she couldn't help thinking of her mother. Helen would have loved this. Would have loved Fionn, too. This is the best birthday I've had in a long time. After that, there had been Christmas presents and elaborate Easter egg hunts, sweets handed over by bemused neighbours when Fionn insisted they dress up as Gomez and Morticia Adams for Halloween and go trick-or-treating. Sarah had never known anyone like Fionn before, someone who could turn a trip to the supermarket into an adventure that she would never forget.
Ah, you're too good to me, she said to him now, as he smiled at the waitress, throwing a few euro coins into the tip jar on the counter.
Anything for you, Miss Fitzpatrick.
He opened the cafe door and gestured at her to go first. My turn next time, she said as they walked through Stony Batter, past Mulligan's.
Good stuff,
Fionn replied, reaching into his pocket for a packet of cigarettes, offering one to Sarah. It didn't even have to be for a special occasion. Fionn had given her sketches, doodles of her stretched out on their couch in Stony Batter, dying of a hangover. Little cartoons he had drawn, imagining what Sarah was like at school, rows of adoring students hanging on her every word. But the painting from his debut was the first proper piece he had ever given her. When the exhibition was finished, Fionn had collected it from the gallery, hanging it carefully on Sarah's wall. She told him she loved it, but surely he must have seen that it was too big for her room. It took up so much space, and it was, like all of Fionn's work, so commanding that you couldn't look at anything else when you were in its presence. Sarah felt as if she was drowning in it. And she hadn't asked for it. She had been shocked at the exhibition when Fionn had told her that he wanted her to have it. He had insisted. It had been Fionn's decision, and if it was hers, then surely she should have been allowed to do whatever she wanted with it. Fionn and Sarah stopped outside a tattoo shop on the quays, looking at the photos of the artist's handiwork.
Would you get any more?
Sarah asked him, and Fionn pulled a face.
Mam will kill me if I get any more tats, he said,
and Sarah laughed at the thought of Ireland's hottest young artist still having to answer to his mam down in Cork. Matthew had turned 44 the year they were together, 5th of August, a week after her own birthday. 20 years between them, Sarah had told herself, it was a huge gap. What was she doing? There had been photos of his party in Sunday Life magazine. A big crowd, every important person in Dublin invited. Everyone except for Sarah. Florence was there, standing next to Matthew as he blew out the candles, her arm around Harry's shoulders. They looked happy. I'm so lucky to celebrate my birthday with all my friends and family, Matthew told the journalist from the magazine. But I'm especially fortunate to have my son and my extraordinary ex-wife here tonight. When Sarah read that, she thought she was losing him. She panicked. How is your man? Sarah asked Fionn as they crossed the street to walk beside the river. I haven't seen Fidelma in ages. Close your eyes, Matthew, Sarah had told him when she knocked at room 63 that day in August, the weekend after his 44th birthday.
I have a surprise for you.
He was sitting on the bed, his face upturned like a child's, and his trust in her caught her breath. She was doing the right thing, she reassured herself.
Matthew's face when he opened the present, his fingers gripping the frame.
Sarah, he kept saying. Sarah, 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 Sarah.
It's too much, he said.
No, it's not, she said. I want you to have it for your birthday. I know how much you loved it at the exhibition. And Matthew looked at Sarah, and it was as if he was seeing her for the first time.
She's grand,
Fionn said, slowing down to let a man in a wheelchair pass him on the narrow footpath. I phoned her yesterday and she was giving out about those photos of Charlotte and me at the premiere of... Oh, fuck, I'd forgotten the name of it. Some stupid rom-com that Charlotte insisted I bring her to.
Same difference?
Yeah, that's the one. It was a piece of shit. I'm on some PR's mailing list and I can't seem to get off it.
Sarah would have loved to go to the premiere, get all dressed up and meet Iris Bailey, Hollywood's latest teen phenomenon.
But Fionn didn't ask Sarah to that type of thing now.
Why is your mam cross?
She asked.
She says Charlotte's too thin.
No childbearing hips there, right?
I'm not sure how she thinks I can even afford to pay for a kid.
Fionn rolled his eyes. And Charlotte is 23, for fuck's sake.
23, Sarah said. Jesus, were we ever that young?
You're 27.
That's not 23.
I'm 33, Fionn said. Let's not play this game.
Where is it?
Fionn had asked that night when Sarah came home from room 63.
Where is what?
She replied, although she knew what he was talking about.
Sarah, stop it,
he said.
What were you even doing in my room, Fionn? That's not on. That's a total invasion of my privacy,
Sarah said.
Where is it?
He asked again, and she looked away.
No, he said. Sarah, you didn't.
It was Matthew's birthday, Sarah tried to explain, and I had to. Florence was...
And Fionn's face broke.
They had reached O'Connell Bridge. I have to go to Grafton Street, Sarah said, pointing to the right.
I'm heading this way, he said. I'm meeting Charlotte at the Ambassador. There's an exhibition on the history of bloodletting that she wants to see.
That'll be fun, Sarah said.
How could you?
Fionn kept saying, while she begged him to understand.
How could you do this, Sarah?
They hugged now, Fionn letting go before Sarah did.
Happy birthday again, he said.
Sarah watched as he walked away from her. She wanted to tell him she was sorry. But she had said sorry to Fionn too many times. Then. I blinked in the sunlight as I got off the bus, temporarily blinded. I heard his voice before I saw him.
Sarah.
There was a large shape in front of me. Solid.
You're looking fierce thin,
it said. Thanks, Dad.
It wasn't a compliment.
The bus driver opened the luggage hold, and I reached in to grab my bag. Let's go, I said.
Thank you very much, Cormac,
my father said to the driver.
Sarah wanted me to tell you that on her behalf.
I was just about to thank him, Dad.
Was it possible to get on the bus again and head straight back to Dublin?
Thanks, Cormac, I said.
How was the journey?
My father asked. It was fine, I said. 2.5 hours, the sun beating through the glass. The woman next to me peeling tinfoil away from her sandwich, the smell of tuna curdling the air. She was so close to me, her body clammy against mine. Excuse me, I kept saying every time her arm touched me. Excuse me.
a guy in his late teens, behind me, having a loud conversation on his phone.
Yeah, man, we were fucked. I drank like 10 pints, puked my ring when I got home.
A mother and her teenage daughter is sitting in front, surrounded by shopping bags. I should never have allowed you to buy that top, the mother said. Your father will have a conniption when he sees it. The daughter sullenly kicking the seat in front of her, as if having a mother was a burden, something to be endured. Fionn, don't text me again. Fionn, I don't care if you're sorry. It's done now.
Nice weather we're having,
my father said, pointing me in the direction of the jeep.
August can be a funny month, though. We hope it lasts for them, for tomorrow.
I'm sure it will, I said. Never mind the child of Prague. Kira had probably sacrificed an entire village of virgins to pacify the sun gods on her wedding day.
No boyfriend with you?
Dad asked as he put my suitcase into the boot.
What?
I said, climbing into the front seat. Ugh, it's such a mess in here. When was the last time you got it cleaned?
Not that long ago.
Just get it valeted, seriously.
I'll get it valeted when I want to get it valeted, Sarah. And I'll thank you not to talk to me like I'm one of your students.
A twist of the key in the ignition. Clonmel in the rearview mirror disappearing slowly. Driving through Dunfinan. The road narrowing into a tiny boreen. Tufts of grass sprouting in the middle. The jeep dipping into potholes that our local TD promised to fill before every election. It's a priority, Mr. Fitzpatrick, he always said. I can assure you of that. Driving down to our house, the lane lined on both sides with electric fences to keep the cattle out. This is it, I told Fionn when I brought him to Dunfinan for the first time. It was our second year of DAC, and he'd wanted to get out of the city for the weekend.
Come on, he had said. Let's go to your home place. It'll be fun.
I said yes. Everything was fun with Fionn.
See this?
I'd said when we arrived at the farm, waving a hand at the surrounding fields.
Everywhere the light touches belongs to the Fitzpatricks.
Okay, Mufasa,
Fionn replied, and we had both laughed.
So?
My father said now when we were sitting at the kitchen table, two cups of tea in front of us and a packet of Viscount biscuits open.
The boyfriend?
I looked behind me. He's not here, is he?
You're not as funny as you think you are, you know.
Oh, I think I'm pretty hilarious.
So tell me, why didn't Mr. Brennan come with you for the wedding?
Dad, can you give me a break?
It was a simple question, Sarah. There's no need to bite my head off.
Nothing is a simple question with you.
I can't ask about my daughter's boyfriend.
He's not my...
He's not your what?
Jesus Christ, Dad, just let it go. He had to go to Paris this weekend, okay? I said, taking one of the biscuits. I imagined myself putting it in my mouth, chewing, swallowing. I put it back in the packet. Some work thing.
Busy man.
That he is. I had asked Matthew to come to Kira and Owen's wedding with me. I wanted him there, handsome and tall by my side.
A wedding?
He'd asked. It'll be fun, I said, already planning to buy a new dress, to get my hair and makeup professionally done. I would be beautiful. I wanted Matthew to see me looking beautiful.
I hate weddings, Sarah, he said. Cheap Prosecco and small talk. Watching two people make the biggest mistake of their lives. It's not for me, I'm afraid.
Okay, I replied.
You're the easiest girl I've ever met, you know that?
He said, and I smiled, as if it was a compliment. I'm going to throw my bag upstairs, I said to my father. I might take a shower as well.
Grand,
he said.
The late starts in half an hour. Will we watch that? Sarah?
My father asked again when I didn't respond.
The late? That comedian you like is going to be on.
Fine, I said. I turned at the door. Dad, you didn't say anything, did you?
Didn't say anything about what?
About Matthew Brennan, You didn't tell anyone about him, did you?
No, Sarah,
he said, crumpling the biscuit foil.
I didn't say anything.
It was always strange waking up in my old bedroom. My father hadn't moved anything since I had left for Dublin, keeping it as a shrine to my 18-year-old self, movie posters and scraps of painting still tacked on the walls. The only concession Dad had made to admitting that I didn't live in Dunfinan anymore was to swap the ironic Barbie bedsheets for a plain yellow cotton. Other than that, it was as if nothing had changed.
Sarah! Dad called up the stairs. Eshling is here already. Hurry on.
I heard them chatting while I checked my handbag. Debit card, house keys, phone, lipstick, powder, eyeliner. Still in Clonmel? Aisling was telling Dad. I have sixth class again.
Yes, I really like that age. They're great. Very bright group this year.
No, James, he can't make the mass. He has to work. Hopefully he'll get to the afters.
I know they're so lucky with the weather. August can be tricky, can't it? Kira'll be thrilled.
What's that you're wearing?
My father asked when I walked into the living room. A dress? I said.
Why has it got that thingy on it?
Okay, Dad, I said, shepherding Aisling out of the front door. I'll see you tomorrow. Sorry about that, I told her as we got into her pristine Mini Cooper. I flicked the air freshener hanging from the rear-view mirror. Why would anyone want their car to smell of forest fresh?
Don't apologize.
She twisted around to look out the window as she backed down the drive.
Eddie's a dote.
So? I said. Jamesy has to work, does he?
Yes.
He seems to be working a lot these days.
I don't want to talk about it.
Fair enough, I said. In other news, you look cute.
So do you. Very Dublin.
I looked down at my outfit, the black mini dress with a cape attached, two thick gold cuffs on my wrists. I'm going to take that as a compliment. The mass was in Dunfinan, the same church where I was baptized, received my communion and my confirmation, where I stumbled inside a pitch-black box to admit my 8-year-old sins to the parish priest. Bless me, Father, for I have sinned. This is my first confession. Kneeling down, hands clasped, praying for redemption. There were air kisses, as we told the mother of the bride she looked great.
Oh, thank you, girls, she said. We went to this fantastic boutique in Athlone. I've been dieting for 6 months to get into it, but it was all worth it, sure. I'm nearly thinner than Kira now. Can you believe that she got pregnant? I mean, we're delighted, of course, but it did make dress shopping difficult. They're both so young and... Oh, sorry, girls. I have to go get a photograph taken. Owen's brother will show you where to sit.
She's never liked me, I said to Aisling as we took our seats. Not since I had to go into the pharmacy to get the morning after pill from her.
Didn't you get Keniston cream as well?
And Solpidine. It was a good night.
Clearly.
The couple sitting in front of us turned around to say hello to Aisling. Gemma Daly and her boyfriend Padraig, still together after all these years.
Oh my God, Sarah Fitzpatrick, she said. We haven't seen you in ages. Do you ever come home?
Too good for us now that you're up in Dublin, I suppose.
The organ music started and Kira's sister appeared in a pastel dress, clutching daisies in her hands. Then it was Kira in a strapless meringue, her father pale-faced by her side. A string quartet playing Adele songs. The priest giving advice on maintaining a healthy relationship. Aisling walking up to the altar for a reading.
Love is kind, she said with such certainty, as if she believed it.
But I didn't think that was true. Love was holding your breath until they texted you. Love was waiting for them to decide that you're good enough. Candles were lit, vows said. I now pronounce you husband and wife. We lined up outside the church to shake hands and hug the bride.
What are you wearing?
Kira asked me.
You look like a superhero.
She elbowed her new husband.
Owen, doesn't Sarah look like a superhero?
Hey, Owen. I gave him a kiss on the cheek. Congratulations.
fucking superhero, I said when Aisling and I were driving to the Riverview Hotel. And she's one to be giving fashion advice, is she? Stay to her wedding dress. My outfit is amazing, but I don't know why I would expect anyone in fucking Dunfinan to understand that. Everyone here is so backward. Did you see what Gemma Daly was wearing? Someone needs to tell her that Kate Middleton isn't an appropriate style icon for someone in their early 20s.
Aisling was silent until we reached the car park.
Okay.
She pulled up the handbrake, her voice brittle.
Firstly, I live in Dunfinan, so I would appreciate it if you stopped calling us backward.
And secondly, I think mocking the bride's dress, the pregnant bride, I might add, is sort of beyond the pale. What's going on with you?
Nothing. This is Kira's wedding day. Today isn't about you.
I know that, Ash. I've just got some stuff on my mind right now.
What kind of stuff? Is it a boy?
I looked out the window and she gave a cackle of laughter.
Of course it is. Sarah Fitzpatrick up to her old ice queen tricks again. What poor creator have you got eaten out of your hands this time?
I knew I shouldn't say anything to her, but I wanted to. I wanted to say his name, to hold it in my mouth, feel its weight on my tongue. I needed to own him in a way that I knew I wasn't allowed to. It's Matthew Brennan.
Who?
You know, I said, the real estate guy. He owns MBA. Aisling still looked uncertain. Florence Kavanagh's ex-husband.
Oh, that guy.
She screwed up her face.
But he's old, Sarah.
He only turned 44 last week.
Exactly. He's practically the same age as my dad, she said. How long has this been going on?
A few months.
A few months? Why didn't you tell me?
We are keeping it a secret for the time being.
A secret? She repeated. That's a bit weird. Why?
Well, I teach his son for one thing, and...
But I don't see why that means you have to keep it a secret. If it's serious between the two of you, surely you could just get his son transferred to another class.
I'm the only art teacher at St. Finbar's.
And? I know it's not exactly professional, but it's hardly a fireable offence, is it? Have you checked? I'm sure it'll be grand.
It's not just that.
What do you mean?
Well, I hesitated, tempted to tell her about work, Mrs. Burke's eyes following me around the staff room, the official warning after Fionn's exhibition, and the promises I made to try harder. But somehow it felt as if saying it out loud would make it real.
Everything's fine, I said. This is just the way it is for the moment. And you can't say anything to anyone, okay?
Okay.
She smirked at me. Now, give me the dirt. What's the sex like? Is it amazing? I bet it is, especially if he was married to Florence Kavanagh. I doubt she would put up with less than 2 orgasms per ride.
She laughed. And I tried to laugh too. Her eyes narrowed.
It is good, isn't it?
Yes, I said.
It's good.
She stared at me.
It's fine,
I amended.
Fine? That doesn't sound very promising. Have you told him what you need him to do to get you off?
She asked.
It's not like Jamesy magically knew how to make me come. I had to teach him, and then teach him again, and again, and then... Oh, God! He bought this book, The Multi-Orgasmic Couple. I hope he bought it from Amazon and didn't go to the Eastons in Clonmel. Can you even imagine?
I am not giving Matthew Brennan a book called The Multi-Orgasm Couple, Aisling.
I'm just saying that good sex is about communication. How is this guy supposed to know what's good for you if you don't tell him?
I don't need a lecture, okay? I said. Should we go in? We're going to miss the free drinks. We walked into the hotel. A large, squat building painted in the palest pink.
Famous for weddings, Kira's mother told us. One of the best in Tipperary, if not the best.
Glasses of Prosecco were waiting in the foyer. One down, then another. We found our table, and I introduced myself.
Hi, how are you? I'm Sarah, and this is Aisling. Aren't they blessed with the weather?
It was Gemma Daly and her boyfriend, me and Aisling, an American cousin of Owen's called Maura Cliff, who looked to be 17 or 18, and Tig Carey, who were all at the same table.
Tig, are you by yourself?
Aisling asked, and he looked at me,
and said yes. Whispering toilet to Aisling, we went to the bathroom where I raided the basket with deodorant and mints and tampons to see if there was anything worth stealing. Why would Kira put us with Tig of all people? I said. What's that about? It's been years. I don't know. Oh my God, can you stop checking your phone? What? I said. I hadn't even noticed I was doing it.
Red or white wine?
Beef or salmon?
Would you like more mash with that? We have potato gratin too, if you'd prefer. Was there something wrong with it?
The waiter asked when he saw how little I had eaten, and I told him I wasn't hungry.
Shh! The speeches!
Each of us put a 10-euro note into a pint glass. Kira's father talking, people stifling yawns, Tig watching the time. It was 25 minutes. Oh, the humanity. Mora, the American cousin, had guessed correctly. She won the money. Shots for the table? Tequila? Sambuca? No. Let's have Jaeger bombs.
Ah, here. I'd feel like I'm having a fucking heart attack tomorrow if I drink any more Red Bull.
The band was setting up. It was traditional Irish music to begin, older aunts and uncles and grandparents waltzing on the dance floor.
Why doesn't anyone know how to dance properly anymore?
Someone asked. At the bar later, I smiled at Tig Carey.
What are you having, Fitz?
He asked, and I could see him hoping. But I allowed him to buy me a vodka and Diet Coke anyway, and another one, and another.
Thanks, Tig, I said. You're always so good to me, do you know that?
The DJ playing AC/DC, Owen's friends sliding on their knees across the dance floor, their ties wrapped around their heads. A vodka and Diet Coke, I told the barman. And another one, I said. And another.
Good sex is about...
I doubt Florence Kavanagh would put up.
You okay, Sarah?
It was Kira, coming out of the toilet cubicle. I was at the sinks, staring at myself in the mirror. I must mean something to him, I told myself. And he must mean something to me, if I allow him to treat me this way. He just needs time.
Fine,
I said. My voice was slurring, curling over the corners of the words. I'm fine. I tried again. I drank some more of my vodka.
Are you having a good day?
Yeah, she said. It's been good. I just wish... She paused in front of the floor-length mirror, tugging at the wedding dress. It would have been nice not to look like a heifer in the photos. I stood beside her. I was so much thinner than she was now.
Do you regret it?
I asked.
What? Getting pregnant.
What?
No, Sarah.
She frowned at me.
Of course not.
It's a bit sooner than expected, and I would have preferred to wait until after the wedding, but...
You don't look that bad,
I told her.
Honest. White is a hard color to pull off,
at any size. I stumbled, almost spilling my drink on her.
Whoops!
Sorry, babe. And then she was gone. I checked my phone. No text. And it was 1:30 a.m. No text. And I was tired. It had been a long day. I needed another drink. Sarah? It was Aisling, and she looked annoyed.
What did you say to Kira? She's just told me to take you home.
What? I don't want to go home. I want another drink.
You've had enough.
Coats and bags were retrieved. A taxi ordered. Can you pick us up immediately, at the Riverview? The man greeted Aisling by name when he arrived, asked how the wedding went.
It was lovely, she told him.
Sarah, she whispered to me as we got into the car, what you did tonight was not on. You really upset Kira. Did I?
Sorry.
I'm serious, Sarah. You can't say things like that to people, especially not on their bloody wedding day. What's wrong with you?
Well, I didn't mean anything by it.
You never mean anything by it, do you?
Why are you so mad at me? I said I was sorry, didn't I?
Look, she said,
I know you haven't always had it easy, Fitz. God knows what I would be like if, well, you know. And I've tried to make allowances for you, I really have, but sometimes...
Sometimes what?
Sometimes I wish I didn't always have to be your minder.